In the summer of 1957, a young woman sat at a desk in Pasadena, her pencil flying across graph paper as she calculated rocket trajectories that would soon make history. While the world celebrated male scientists and astronauts, these women, known as computers before machines took that name, worked behind the scenes, their mathematical brilliance propelling America's journey to space. These pioneers didn't just break gender barriers, they became the world's first computer programmers, guiding spacecraft to the Moon, Venus, Mars, and beyond. Their calculations, converted into code, still navigate spacecraft through our solar system today, a legacy of women literally written in the stars. The story begins with an explosion. In 1939, Barbara "Barbie" Canwright was crossing Caltech's campus when debris rained down from a failed rocket experiment by the notorious Suicide Squad, Frank Molina, Jack Parsons, and Ed Forman. Despite their reckless reputation, these scientists had secured government funding for what would become the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Frank offered Barbie double her typist salary to use her mathematical skills as a computer. Working in the isolated Arroyo Seco Canyon above Pasadena, the team developed JATO, jet-assisted takeoff units for aircraft. After early failures, including one that destroyed the world's safest plane, they succeeded. With six rockets attached to a small aircraft, they reduced takeoff distance by half, achieving America's first rocket-powered flight. When Pearl Harbor thrust America into World War II, JPL's work accelerated. The military urgently needed JATO units for bombers taking off from short runways. Barbie's calculations became vital as she documented engine performance under different conditions. As JPL expanded, they hired more computers, forming a calculation team that would eventually help America reach for the stars. By the early 1950s, Macy Roberts, supervisor of the computing section, made a pivotal decision to hire only women, believing they collaborated more effectively without male competition disrupting group dynamics. Macy recruited mathematically talented women from diverse backgrounds: Barbara Lewis, escaping limited career options; Helen Chow, a Notre Dame graduate; Sue Green, who balanced mathematics with part-time modeling; and Marie Crowley, with degrees in chemistry and mathematics. In a significant milestone, Janes Lawson joined as JPL's first African-American professional during California's largely segregated era. Their intense schedule, often 12-hour days, 5 days a week, limited outside social lives, but strengthened their internal bonds through frequent potlucks and parties. This sisterhood proved invaluable as they tackled increasingly complex challenges, from calculating Earth's gravitational effects on missiles to developing guidance systems that eventually shifted their focus from weapons work towards space exploration. JPL's space ambitions emerged when Barbara and Macy spotted Wernher von Braun, the controversial former Nazi rocket scientist, during Project Orbiter planning. However, on August 9, 1955, the Department of Defense chose the Navy's Project Vanguard instead, crushing their hopes. Undeterred, JPL continued satellite work under the Jupiter missile program. Helen Chow calculated spinning rates to prevent rocket vibration, while Marie developed MicroLock, a tracking system sensitive enough to detect signals from thousands of miles away. Everything changed on October 4, 1957, when the Soviet Union launched Sputnik. Helen and colleagues were devastated, knowing their design could have been first. Despite nationwide anxiety, President Eisenhower insisted on waiting for Project Vanguard. When Vanguard exploded moments after liftoff on live television, newspapers mockingly called it Flopsnik and Kaputnik. Under pressure, the administration finally authorized JPL's satellite, and the computers retrieved their hidden notebooks as engineers unveiled their secret design. Explorer 1 launched on January 31, 1958. When Barbara and Margie detected its signal after the first 90-minute orbit, America had finally entered the space race, thanks largely to calculations by women whose names history would nearly forget. While the computers took pride in their work, digital computers threatened their jobs. Helen responded by transforming her team into NASA's first computer programmers. Unlike other centers where women's positions vanished, JPL's women became more valuable through their programming expertise. The women learned Fortran to translate mathematical equations into code, with Barbara and Helen mastering it through Caltech classes. They wrote programs on paper before transferring them to punch cards. In 1960, an IBM 1620 joined the team, which they affectionately named Cora. Barbara even added Cora's nameplate beneath the human team members' names. By 1970, amid women's liberation movements, JPL's computers gained official recognition as engineers, a breakthrough as significant as lunar landing. Helen developed a plan to increase female representation by hiring women programmers and encouraging them to pursue engineering degrees with mentorship. Computing evolved dramatically from Helen programming with pins on a Burroughs E101 pin board and teams competing for mainframe time to each staff member eventually having personal computers with processing power matching the massive machines they once shared. After their satellite success, JPL launched the Mariner program targeting Mercury, Venus, and Mars. On December 14, 1962, Mariner 2 approached Venus with Helen and Melba tracking its position. Despite overheating and a lost solar panel, the spacecraft completed America's first space race victory. Rather than imagined alien jungles, Mariner 2 revealed Venus had extreme temperatures and pressures hostile to life. Later, Mariner 4 showed Mars as an ancient planet with polar ice caps, chaos terrain, and a thin atmosphere, contradicting notions of advanced Martian civilizations. Barbara calculated trajectories for the Viking mission to Mars, designing a 206 million-mile path maintaining Earth contact. When the spacecraft reached Mars in June 1976, the unexpectedly rocky terrain forced Helen to create new programs as the team worked 16 to 18-hour days to find a landing site. On July 20, 1976, the lander transmitted the first surface images, showing a rocky, red landscape with a dusky salmon sky. Barbara retired from JPL in April 1993 after 45 years, with Helen following a year later to celebrations attended by engineers spanning JPL's history. Female representation at JPL grew from 9% in 1984 to 15% in 1994, making it NASA's most gender-diverse center and fulfilling Macy and Helen's 50-year effort. Their greatest legacy remains the Voyager missions, which revealed Jupiter's massive storms, Io's erupting volcanoes, and Saturn's intricate rings. These spacecraft continue their journey 13 billion miles from Earth, still running on programs these women first handwrote using just 40 kilobytes of memory. Their achievements are even more remarkable, considering they thrived when society expected women to prioritize marriage and motherhood. They balanced family responsibilities with demanding careers, working overtime for mission deadlines while raising children. As we explore Mars and prepare for deep space missions, their story reminds us that innovation flourishes when we embrace the full spectrum of human talent. When you look at the night sky, remember that our understanding of space was shaped by women whose calculations opened pathways to the stars, proving that mathematics knows no gender, and with determination, even the heavens aren't the limit.